Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, what should the new hashtag for the Houston Texans be? 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I think since last year we said embrace the suck. Last 2 years, embrace the suck was the hashtag that we had for the Houston Texans. I think it has to be can't embrace the suck, right? Can't embrace the suck has to be the hashtag for the Houston Texans, because they literally cannot. They can't suck this year because they traded their first round pick in 2024. Hopefully it's not a very good pick. So they can't embrace the suck. Hashtag can't embrace the suck. OG said hashtag should have drafted Levis. I'm sure that's a troll at me. A few people weighing in on this on Twitter. It is something I posted at Twitter, at Jeremy Branham. Derek says the new motto should be hashtag suck less. It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue that hashtag suck less should be the new mantra, the new hashtag for the Houston Texans. Chubby Bear, who's the that blogger. What? Why do you laugh at Chubby Bear?
It's just an amusing name.
He pays for his blue check mark.
Okay.
He and Joe argued the other day. Why? What are you laughing at, Joe?
I just love that little shot.
That he pays for his blue check mark?
Yeah, I don't get it. It's weird.
One of my favorite days in the last 2 weeks was whenever everybody's like blue check mark got dropped.
Yeah.
And we immediately found out who subscribes to Twitter Blue for whatever $8, $9 it is. And every single person was trying to justify why they spend $8 to $9 for Twitter Blue. It was hilarious. Like, people are like, oh, well, I do it because I want longer videos. Oh, I do it because content, blah, 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 blah. No, you wanted it for clout. You wanted it for popularity. It's fine. It's fine that you do that. But, yeah, Chubby Bear has the blue check mark. He says hashtag put it all on red. I think that might be the name of his podcast, though. So I think that's why he said hashtag put it all on red. G Black says hashtag fire Casario. I guess he didn't love the draft. So what should be the hashtag for the Houston Texans 2023 season?
So much pressure on me because I came up with a stellar one for 2 years.
You had all day to work on it.
Not really. The first one that came to my mind was just win, baby, because that's what they have no choice but to do that now.
Yeah.
Because of
they
that,
drafted
because
Jalen
of giving
Carter.
Up that pick, just win, baby, becomes pretty prevalent with this team instead of embracing the suck, because embrace the suck was with a goal in mind to get the top pick in every round of the draft and do what you need to do to rebuild the roster quicker. Now that you don't have your pick and you don't have multiple first round picks and everything that coincides with your record says it's time to win now, so just win, baby, makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, but it's been used. I mean, that's the Al Davis
starter
thing.
To the conversation.
You can't go hashtag just win, baby. It's Al Davis's thing. 9406 says hashtag swarm the ball. Which, Will Anderson, yeah, it's kind of a boring one. Will Anderson said that nonstop with, like, every media thing that he was doing. Swarm the ball. We're going to swarm. And then C.J. Stroud said it. Like, C.J. Stroud, what are you talking about, C.J.? You want to swarm the ball? You're on offense. Why are you swarming the ball? You don't want to do that. Leave that to the defensive guys. I don't need you to swarm the ball. I need you to pass the ball for 300 yards a game. 2387, hashtag bring back the Letterman jackets.
No.
Man, why are the Letterman jackets still catching strays? 2023.
Because it didn't end well.
It ended very poorly.
Yes, that's why.
It ended about as bad as you could. Oh, 3691, instead of embrace the suck, he says hashtag embrace the win. We are going to be viewing the Texan season 2023 much differently.
Like, oh, yeah.
We last year were kind of rooting for the Texans to lose. Let's be honest.
So this year it's, is it hashtag be better than Cleveland?
Some people tweeted me that one. Some people tweeted me hashtag be better than Cleveland. I'm going to nitpick that one.
Why?
Because what if Cleveland's 3-14, but you're 4-13? You still lose.
You still have a top three pick.
You do, but you still lose a top five
pick.
You're
right, but it still you'll feel better, at least a little bit.
You will feel slightly better, but it will still sting. So, like, I kind of nitpicked that one a bit.
How about pound the Browns? I mean, because you got to.
Well, Deshaun Watson's playing on the wrong team.
Exactly.
Did you hear?
Clutch City said hashtag suck the embrace.
That's pretty good.
I love that. That's very, pretty good. Well,
I got to tip my cap to that. Yep. Did you see what Steve Harvey said about Deshaun Watson?
No.
Steve Harvey's like a Browns fan, and he's like, look, Deshaun can keep, like, he can keep getting massages. That's fine. Like, Deshaun, you can keep getting your massages. Just don't turn over.
I don't think that was the only issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Steve Harvey really got the full context of exactly what was going on in these Deshaun Watson massages, which, by the way, Busby's back at it. He says he's going to take this one of these lawsuits to court, by the way. I kind of hope he does. 6856 says hashtag take it on the chin.
Nope.
But it's Key from L.A. He doesn't care about,
of course,
the Texans.
He wants them to suck.
Jason says, did the Texans, this isn't a hashtag, he says, did the Texans trade their 24 first-round pick, but they still have the Browns' first-round pick? Yes. Yes, that's right. The Texans had the Browns' 2024 first. They no longer have their first. 5433 says, embrace the luck for the Houston Texans hashtag in 2023.
Not bad.
Eh, I don't love that one.
I don't love, it's not bad.
You know why I don't like that one? I think because of Andrew Luck and the whole suck for luck.
Okay.
It's been done before, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and I mean, of course, all the red, the blue Kool-Aid drinkers are telling you that they don't need luck because they're already going to be good.
The Bishop, who works at KHOU, says, turnaround 23.
He's listening?
He tweeted it. He tweeted the show.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's listening right this second. Would you like him to be listening?
No.
Is there anything you would like to say to the Bish?
Oh, there's plenty, but we won't do it here on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, now I got to know.
No
one's listening.
You don't have to know.
No one's listening. I do have to know.
No, you don't have to know.
Texans Canada, who's living from way up north, he says, hashtag hope is back. That's probably true. I think that what the Texans did in the draft did bring back hope for this city when it comes to this football franchise.
Instead of keep hope alive, can we just keep hope for five so they get five wins?
No, that's bad.
That's under in Vegas, but
five wins is
better
bad
than it was a year ago.
No, you get five wins, you have a top five pick.
I know.
No,
but
don't keep hope
for five. But you're making progress. You're getting more than keep hope for five.
Look, you're probably speaking truisms right now.
Yes.
You're probably being realistic right now.
Yeah.
But
shame on me for doing that again.
No one's going to be hashtagging drive for five or whatever, try for five. Like, the Texans need more
than
five.
I'm just keeping hope alive for five. I'm hoping they get there.
Keep hope alive.
Hashtag keep hope alive.
Yeah. That's been used, but okay.
Yeah, you're right. It has been used. Like, how many wins do the Texans have for you to feel comfortable them giving you their first-round pick?
Should we call it seventh heaven so that they get to seven wins?
Seven would be like my baseline, I think.
I think
seven's my baseline.
I would like to be within four picks of Cleveland.
See, Cleveland to me doesn't really factor in a whole lot. I like, it does a bit.
It just makes me feel
bad.
It would make me feel like the only angst I have about the trade is that you gave up your pick, not Cleveland's.
But it would still be the wrong pick even if you're within four.
I know, but like, it just, if you have 12 and they have 16, like, I'm good.
It's still the wrong one. I'd rather pick 12 than 16.
I know, but that's not going
to
happen.
Like, for me, I need to be outside of the top 10. Like, if it's a top 10 pick,
I hate to break it
to you. I
will
be so mad.
As much as I'm confident in saying that I don't think they're going to have their own pick, I think is going to fall within the top five picks, I definitely think it's fallen within the top 10.
And I'll be mad. And that's why I was mad, because
like
I'm realistic.
We both are.
Listen, my thing is just like, if they have 9 and Cleveland has 12 again, like, I don't, it's okay.
I agree with that, though. I think it would be a lesser blow.
Like, but like, you're kind of chasing Cleveland.
It's definitely a lesser blow than if that pick ends up in the top three.
But like,
five.
Kinda. I mean, like, you want to talk about like extremes? Okay, yeah. What if it's a top two pick and it's 32 for Cleveland? Like, that's like the ultimate nightmare.
Like
Cleveland goes to the Super Bowl and you're the worst team in the NFL.
If I was calling,
that's not happening. But
Vegas thinks that it will.
Were they
for
9?
Cleveland?
9 or 10?
No. Vegas has Cleveland at 9.5 wins.
So. Yeah, that's probably
realistic. They have the Texans at 5.5, tied for the worst in the NFL with Arizona.
I bet the over.
Everybody in Houston has.
Yeah.
I saw a certain YouTube channel yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody in the city has.
Because I didn't
I can understand.
Because I think
George, I don't understand.
I think 7's realistic. Like, I think 5.5.
You think 7 wins for this team next year?
I think 7's the high end range.
I think it's the ceiling.
I think it's, I do too.
But like, I think 7's realistic, which means 6 is realistic, which gets me the over.
Which means four is realistic.
Yep.
Or five, I mean.
But see, I wanted to get it 5.5.
Five for five.
No and one wants to do that, though.
I know no one wants to do that, but again, we're trying to be realistic here.
Are we, or are we trying to have like a catchy hashtag? Like some,
both.
Like, because the Texans are going to put out a hashtag that's not realistic. Like the Astros hashtag is realistic because they're hashtag ready to rain. But what was the Rockets? Like ignite the fuse
it's
or whatever?
It's going to be something about the H this year for sure. Because they keep throwing it up. They've changed the logo. They're doing the new jerseys next year.
H like, for hope. That's not a good hashtag, though. That's a very poor hashtag.
Pretty bad.
Shut up, random. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. We were talking about the Vegas odds yesterday and like win totals, and the Texans win total was 5.5. There was a very unpopular YouTube Texans channel that was like, oh, pound the over on 5.5. They did a whole like YouTube hour on the Vegas totals, which like, oh, okay.
I went over 5.5, and I'm hoping that it gets bet up to like 6.5, so then I can also bet the under.
And try to middle
and
it?
And get right at 6.
That's my
goal.
You're paying the VIG now, though.
I know.
I'm really thinking about this.
That's paying the VIG.
I'm hoping I can get the over and the under in one fell swoop.
3830 says hashtag give them the horns. That sounds too much like the Longhorns.
Yeah,
5535 says hashtag do better. Which, if this has something to do with our Twitter
that
stuff
tweet
the other day,
yesterday,
this would be great. I hope that this has some like innuendo towards that,
yeah.
Because that is very well played, 5535.
Yeah, we got a couple of those.
We are the swarm, says 8029. That only applies to one side of the ball, though. The fact CJ Stroud said we're going to be a swarming team was like, it cracked me up. I started laughing.
It's like he really didn't understand what it meant.
Which, I mean, if we're believing some of the stuff that we've read pre-draft, just saying. 5764 hashtag battle red time, baby. No. I don't know if I like that one.
No.
1565 second worst to first worst. That's no one's getting on top of that. No one's gonna like that. 6677 says hashtag keep Caleb out of AZ. That should be the Texans hashtag.
You got CJ.
That should be the Texans mantra. Hashtag proud for Stroud. That's not a bad one if you're trying to suck for Stroud.
You're trying to get
it. But now
that you already have
Stroud. A new hope, hashtag a new hope, 4230. They are. They do have a new hope. 53848 says hashtag Texans who. That's a slide.
I kind of like a new hope because it's a very Star Wars-y reference.
But no one likes Star Wars.
Oh, yes, they do.
So I'll just call it double
down. We're not those guys.
I am.
No, I'm saying Jeremy and
I. So we'll do hashtag return of the fans.
I know Star Wars is very popular. It's one of my unpopular opinions.
No, it's okay. All right. No, you know, people can have their bad opinions.
So,
you've got them.
What's the Star Wars one? You
Return of the fans.
So you want to go return of the hope?
No, return of the fans.
Oh, just return of the fans.
Because it's return of the Jedi. But it's return of the fans because they're actually going to go to the games.
Some people would say that's why they...
I know. Bad joke.
2460 hashtag it's getting better.
Oh boy. If that's what you have hope for a slogan, hey, it's getting better. Could be worse.
it's not so bad.
Hashtag
it could be worse.
Hashtag it could be the 21 Texans. Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny? You do the hashtag, the shoulder shrug emoji. It could be worse.
Yeah, I think we might have something here because, hey, it could be worse. You could have given up both your first round picks next year. You only gave up one.
The problem is what if it is worse?
Then we're right.
Then we have to change the hashtag like mid-season.
Hashtag rebirth. I think that might be it, man. I think we just nailed it. Hashtag it could be worse. Shrug emoji.
Yep, I think you're right.
You got to throw the shrug emoji.
The emoji in there too is right. Yep.
All right, we're gonna go with that then.
713780 organically. Look at that.
It only took 13 minutes. 713780-3776. The HRMP listener line. You can keep sending those in. What should the Texans 23 hashtag? What should it be? If anything trumps ours, then we'll mention it on there. Some people in this city look. I called the Texans win now mode. I know some people kind of nitpick exactly what that means. I think the Texans have to win games. The Texans have shown you that they're going to be trying to win football games. There are still some interesting names in free agency. Is there anyone that you would like to see the Texans at? Any positions you would like them to address? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lemmy on Twitter. He's usually on Twitch. He still owes me lunch. He says, hashtag embrace average. I would take average. I would take slightly below average. I'll take 8-9 right now. You tell me the Texans are 8-9, well, sign
then,
me up.
Yeah, because then the trade looks a whole hell of a lot better.
Easier
then,
to
too.
Swallow.
Yeah, yep.
Give me sure. average. Give me 8, and out slightly below average. Give me average. Heidi Ho says, Heidi Ho Princess says, hashtag, let's do better than the Browns. Warlord says, not rooting to lose for a high draft pick. That's true. We're not going to be rooting that the Texans lose. There's no
How
about
hashtag
that.
Cleveland, this is for you.
Maybe. Maybe. I feel like we're paying too much. Like, I understand why we're paying attention to Cleveland, but you still got to worry about your own front porch. Like, even if Cleveland goes 3-14, but you go 4-13, I'm not letting you off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not letting you off the hook. If Cleveland has the first pick, which would be Caleb Williams, and you have the third pick, which would be Marvin Williams Jr. or Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm not letting you off the hook for that just because Cleveland was worse.
I know that we probably will never know the answer to this, but I'm just curious how narrow-minded the thinking was in not exploring just what possibilities could happen with that pick next year. Like, how in-depth did they go?
I hope they did. It's their job.
But again, we don't know. And I don't know if he was so focused and hell-bent on getting these two guys that they just didn't do enough extensive deep dive into thinking, hey, I'd rather give up. Was the Cleveland pick offered? You know, was it, you know, you said, like, yesterday that it was a 90, it came within 90 seconds of the decision.
Casario said that.
So if that's the case, I mean, was there any debate? Were you still trying to throw the Cleveland pick? I hope to God you were still trying to throw the Cleveland pick in there, but I sure would like to know.
Yeah, I'd say it's going to be interesting what all happens next year. We back up, says first-gen Texans fans. My wife said hashtag accept the yuck. I said hashtag embrace the yuck because now it's very similar to what we went through last year. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. George wants a hashtag. George, what you got? You're in the hive with the Killer Bees.
Hi, brother. I think I got a hashtag for you that's going to end it.
Oh.
Hashtag the DeMeco effect.
Well, it's not going to end it, George, but we appreciate the call. It's a good effort. It's a valiant effort, George. We appreciate you giving it your go. We appreciate you giving it your best shot. It's
too
solid.
Much confidence.
It's okay, but it's not the best. It's not going to end the conversation, George, but I do like the moxie. I do like the confidence. I appreciate that, but it's not ending the conversation. Fake Tony Stark says, bring back the Oilers. How about the Titans just flat out wearing a bunch of Oiler stuff, though, by the way? What? Like, they're wearing the draft. Oh, Amy Adams wearing an Oiler hat. The McCourty dude came out in an Oilers jacket. Like, I have a theory on this. Hear me out. Maybe this is my tinfoil hat again, and you tell me if this is a conspiracy or if this is a reality. Amy Adams and the Tennessee Titans, they obviously have caught wind. The Houston Texans are coming out with new scheme, new logo. Hannah McNair's publicly talked about how it's not Love You Blue, it's H-Town Blue, like the old police cars back in the day. Mm-hmm. So, like, everybody knows that the Houston Texans in some form or fashion are going to use the old Love You Blue. They're going to call it H-Town Blue. They've been publicly talking about this. If we've caught wind of it, you know the Tennessee Titans have caught wind of it. The Tennessee Titans also did some sort of, like, something's coming with their uniforms. Like, they did a helmet dropped in paint. And they picked it up, but it's like black and it's like mysterious. And they said it's coming soon. I bet you it's going to be the H-Town. I bet you it's going to be Love You Blue.
You think she goes all out Oilers?
I think they're at least going to have an Oiler throwback game. But I believe their new helmet, and they can wear multiple helmets. Sure. But the new helmet that they have is going to be Oiler Blue. And they're going to get out ahead of this whole Kyle McNair Houston Texans H-Town Blue.
Now, depending on, it's different from NBA, which I'm familiar with, as opposed to the NFL. But, it takes years to have submitted your request to change your uniforms and your colors. If they got out and got their request in before the Texans, they could actually just completely blow the Texans out of the water by taking Love You. If they use Love You Blue, no matter what you call it.
They already have it. Like, I mean, it's part of
their throwback.
Yeah.
And
they've worn Oilers jerseys before.
And they're wearing it this year. They're wearing it for a home game this season.
I think that's just a huge kick in the
game. And they're going to – we know they're going to wear it against the Texans. Like,
I believe that they're being openly and publicly more willing to use the logo and the throwback because they know that the Texans are about to come out with something somewhat similar.
I think it's a definite middle finger to the, however you want to put it, to the city, to the Texans, to whatever. But, yeah, that's dirty pool right there.
It's funny. Josh in Beaumont. Good meeting you, Josh, by the way. He went to the Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage last Thursday. It's good meeting you, Josh. He says, hashtag hype, not hope.
Sorry, I missed you, Josh.
7086. I'm not reading that. 713-780-ESPN. Your acceptable hashtags. 713-780-3776. The Texans have to win games. The Texans can't afford to lose football games. They don't have their first-round pick next year. Are there any names or position groups out there that you would like the Texans to add? The Willies threw out the idea yesterday, which, by the way, they did lead their show yesterday with Luis Garcia. I didn't realize Cody was going to be out. So Cody being out,
either.
They were allowed to go Astros in the opening segment. If Cody was there, there's no way that they were going Astros
You're
in the opening
excuses?
Segment. I'm telling you reality.
I nailed it.
You did nail it. You're right.
Okay.
Did you know Cody was going to be out?
I did not.
See?
I don't think it would have changed my opinion, though.
Yeah, I don't know why I just said C. but they threw out the name.
Great.
The name Jadeveon Clowney. What?
Great.
What?
That's Cody's other thing.
What?
Hey, how you guys doing? Great.
Oh, okay.
So great.
They threw out the idea of bringing back Clowney. Do we think this is a good idea
Please
at all?
Don't. No. It wasn't a good idea the first time around the way it ended. No. Stop. The dude is one of the big. You talk about Anthony Richardson. This is the Anthony Richardson of the defensive line. I mean, he made one play against Michigan and blew up a running back with a helmet that flew off, and suddenly he was the second coming of Reggie White, and everybody kept waiting and hoping and thinking that this was going to be the guy, and over again, he was fool's gold. He was a guy that really showed you how much he really didn't love football, but he played it, and he coasted when he was hurt, and he did all the things that created a debate between Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien and everything that you've heard and believed, and he's bounced around to numerous franchises. There's a reason why no one wants to give him a long-term deal either, and you don't need him now.
I don't understand it either from a variety of different reasons. Like, I feel the Texans have two defensive ends that they want to play a lot of snaps, right? Like, they want John Gernard to play tons of snaps. Obviously, they want Will Anderson to play tons of snaps. You already have the veteran there in Jerry Hughes that's going to kind of, like, show the youngsters the way. I don't trust Jadeveon Clowney to show the youngsters the way at all. So I'm not really sure that I want Jadeveon Clowney in a backup role being the mentor to two young players, and Will Anderson younger than John Gernard, and you already kind of have that mentor. You start to think about it from, like, a practical standpoint as well. Like, where does Jadeveon Clowney fit in? Last year, Jadeveon Clowney was mad with Cleveland that he was only being used as a niche, like, third down defensive end in passing situations where he would get to the quarterback, and he, like, threw a fit and didn't want to play, and the way that it ended in Cleveland was terrible and very, very bad. So I don't really want a Jadeveon Clowney distraction problem in the locker room as a back-end gimmick, backup defensive end whenever I have young, impressionable players in front of him. And I don't see the role either. Like, is he only playing on third downs? Is he only going to play 3rd-and-7 passing situations? You're going to bring in somebody who, like, has, like, a little bit of a toxic personality for a very gimmicky role with the team? I'm totally out on any idea of Clowney being with the Texans. There are some names, though, that are out there that I'm intrigued by. And there's certain positions that I'm intrigued by as well. What about you? Are there any names? Because, look, Texans are trying to win football games now. They're trying to win football games right this second. They're not looking to go, you know, embrace the suck. They're not trying to go 3-14 and lose every game for their draft pick. They have to win football games. They're trying to win. Are there names out there that you would like added to this team? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Any names out there that the Texans should be looking at bringing in, or just position groups too? 713-780-ESPN. Like, they're not bringing in another quarterback. That quarterback room's complete. It's going to be Stroud, Mills, Keenum, in some order. How about the offensive line? Like, I know that you drafted Juice. I know that you would like for him to be your opening day center. You drafted Patterson from Notre Dame. I know that you want him to be in the mix, too. Probably not a starter. But are we sure that he is a day one, week one NFL starter in the NFL? How about like a center guard guy that can be either position where it's a veteran? Like Dalton Risner, I don't think can play center. I don't think he can. He's only played guard in the NFL. But Dalton Risner is an interesting name to me. Like, I know you traded for Shaq Mason, but Dalton Risner is somebody who can push Kenyon Green. He can push Shaq Mason, and he gives you options in the room. I think you can upgrade at offensive line, and I think you could upgrade at center, but doing so means that Juice is probably not a week one starter, and I don't think the Texans would be willing to do that.
Did Connor McGovern resign
with the Jets?
Yeah.
What about Ben Jones? That was a name that I kind of like. I don't know if Ben Jones is signed. I don't know if Ben Jones is really like. I don't know if I want to kick the tires again on Ben Jones.
I know he's been here, done that, but
I think you can upgrade potentially at the center spot. I don't think the Texans want to upgrade at the center spot though.
I think they're hoping Juice is the guy.
I think that they're going to probably give him the runway to be the guy. And if he fails, he fails. Mm-hmm. Tight end. Like I know that they brought in Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz is your starter. After that, you really got nothing. Like you got Quentin Tarantino as your backup tight end. And I know that he's kind of like your blocking tight end. That's not a great number two tight end in like modern day NFL. I think you can upgrade a tight end.
You don't like Brevin?
Not really. No.
Yeah, he's okay.
They were playing Quentin Tarantino over Brevin.
Yeah.
Like I don't think the Texans like Brevin, although it's a new regime, so we'll see how they're utilized with the new regime. But last year's Texans, they like Quentin Tarantino more than they like Brevin Jordan. So that kind of makes me wonder that maybe Brevin Jordan's not very good. So that's something that, you know, maybe that's an area that you could kick the tires on. Remember last year they brought in O.J. Howard and Jordan Akins like two weeks before the season, and they were instantly your best two tight ends.
Well, and then O.J. Howard had two touchdowns in week one, and everybody, or his first game with the Texans, and everybody's like, oh my God, he's our tight end of the future. No, it didn't turn out that way.
How about running back? Because I would have loved the Texans to draft a third down running back, really good in the passing game, to complement Damian Pierce. They probably already feel like they had that guy in Devin Singletary. I'm also very intrigued by this Volladay guy that they guaranteed like 6-round money to as an undrafted free agent. Like he kind of intrigues me. I'm going to be watching Volladay pretty closely in training camp. I don't really care about OTAs and stuff when they're not in pads.
Who are you looking at, Hunt?
If you're trying to win games right now.
Kareem Hunt. You can do a lot worse.
You're trying to win games right now.
I got to believe, though, he's going to have a pretty steep price tag.
Don't love that he punched that girl in the face.
It's going to factor in.
I feel odd that Cleveland is so disinterested in him. Like they're convinced, like they've said publicly, that he's lost steps.
Man, all I know is that dual backfield has worked out really well for them when everything else hasn't offensively.
Yeah. I'm probably out on Kareem, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's three veteran running backs that are out there that are going to find teams eventually. Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't know that he's going to find a team.
Zeke?
Dallas maybe, but other than that, otherwise I think teams would have already kicked the tires. He's got to lose weight, and he's got to change a whole lot about where he's been in the last couple of years for a team to really actually give him a legit plan.
I think he's going to be a backup short yardage running back. I think he can be good in that role. Now, him accepting that role is a different question. But I'm not interested in Zeke Elliott. Like that's like an old version of Damian Pierce. Like he's not going to like do a ton in the passing game anymore at this stage of his career. So I'm out on the veteran running backs. The third veteran is Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette doesn't have a team either. And I feel like
a guy that needs to lose a little.
And I think he could be a gimmicky short yardage running back that's pretty good in that role. Like I think he could be Jamal Williams. Like I think he could be pretty good in a short yardage role. But I don't need a short yardage running back. I have Damian Pierce. So I'm really out on the available running backs. Again, like what do you envision Frank Clark being on this team?
Well, I think if D'Amico liked him as a pass.
But do you play him over Grenard or you're not playing him over Anderson? But
Grenard didn't exactly wow you last year.
No, but I think he's more of a wide nine defensive end. I'm curious. I'm actually very intrigued by Grenard in this defense.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too.
I wonder what D'Amico's evaluation is because if it's not high on him, then I think you do look at Frank Clark, Yannick Ngakoue.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see if one of those guys, Leonard Floyd would be a good fit probably. Like he's had a wild career, but
he's had some success.
With the Rams, he had a lot of success.
Sure did.
So like, it depends on your evaluation of
Grenard.
I think it's a good call. Like if D'Amico walks in, he's watched film on all of these players, and your scout on Grenard is he's not a starter, then you should be in the market for a Leonard Floyd, for a Frank Clark. I'm putting the X on Jadeveon Clowney. It wanted nothing to do with Jadeveon Clowney. But Frank Clark, Leonard Floyd, I could sign up for that with the caveat that D'Amico doesn't view John Gernard as a starter. Because if John Gernard's a starter, yeah, also, I don't think you should be bringing in an edge rusher.
But we also see like San Francisco and Philadelphia, they have a million guys. And they just rotate them through. Mm-hmm. And like so like you could see one of those guys come in and like you can move Will Anderson around. Like you can move these guys. You can do a bunch of creative things.
Based on down and distance, based on pass situations.
Committee and depth and all of that.
Like, I think
speed.
Pass rusher, it's that. And I think they could use some depth at corner.
I was thinking about either Rockyasin.
That was the name I was looking at.
Because he's only 27. I'm pleased with the Texans secondary he's at, actually.
I didn't hate Ronald Darby when he was here.
I think that here's where I'm at with the Texans. Is I feel 1 through 22, like if you just look at their 11 starters on the offensive side, their 11 starters on the defensive side, I feel okay-ish to pretty good about their starters. Like, their starters are fine. Like, 1 through 11 offensively, 1 through 11 defensively, they're okay-ish, with chances to getting a lot better because they're mostly young. The problem that whenever I look at the Texans 53 and I stack them up to other teams around the NFL is if they have 3 or 4 injuries, they're done. Like, they're doomed. If you have one, like Sheldon Rankin's Willie Collins, that is a fine, formidable interior defensive line. That's a pretty good one. Rankin's and Willie Collins, fine. One of them gets hurt. Roy Lopez is playing 90% of snaps again.
Go
that's
get you
scary.
Some Puna Ford.
Or corner. Like, we saw this last year. Like, the Texans' top three corners, I'm cool with. Like, I like Stingley. I think Stingley's going to be good. Stevie Nelson's a good football player. Their nickel corner, Desmond King, Tavier Thomas, pretty good. Mm-hmm. One or two of those guys go down, you're toast. You're done. Safeties. Like, your backup safety behind Jalen Petrie right now is Eric Murray or MJ Stewart.
Yeah, I
done.
Think,
toast.
I think bringing back Jonathan Owens would be a good move.
Yeah, I
that's
already
not a bad call.
Jonathan Biles. Sorry.
Yeah, Jonathan Biles.
I actually they solidified that a month or so ago. I actually
Mr.
thought
Biles.
They already brought him back.
No, he's a free agent.
I would think that they're going to bring him back.
That's my biggest concern about the Texans. It's not really the starters. Like, the starters, I think, are formidable. I think that they're fine, and I think that they're young with room to grow. And I understand the hope because they have a good young nucleus that I think will grow and will develop, and then you add some pieces along the way. I think 1 through 11 offensively, they're fine. 1 through 11 defensively, they're fine. But what happens if Kenyon Green gets hurt? Jim Morrissey's getting snaps? What happens if Titus Howard gets hurt? Charlie Heck is getting a bunch of snaps? This team is like 4 or 5 injuries. And look, again, this is the NFL. Does a team make it through the season without any injuries to their starting lineup? No. Injuries happen all the time. Several injuries happen all the time. This team has zero depth.
So get you some Puna Ford at defensive line.
They probably need more depth than they need the splash names like Clowney and, you know, Frank Clark and Yannick Ngakoue or DeAndre Hopkins.
Puna's 27. Rockyasin is 27.
It's depth.
They still have something left in the tank. I could see those moves making sense.
Like, if the Texans lose 3 starters on the defensive side of the ball, they go from being a promising, like, defense, a good young defense. Like, if the Texans were healthy the entire year, optimistic, Homer hat on, I think the Texans could be middle of the pack defensively in the NFL. But D'Amico Ryans is here. I like their starters. I think they could be middle of the pack. But if they lose 3 starters defensively, Vince Lombardi couldn't have this defense playing at a good level.
But, you know, to Joe's point, but on a grander scale, I mean, I would have if I'm Caserio, I have a really good conversation going with D'Amico about versatility and what are, you know, unlike Lovie Smith and what he said about corners around draft time last year, go into D'Amico's office and say, hey, if we were to add a couple of free agents, what kind of defensive players are you looking for? Are you looking for a pass rusher?
They
looking
have
for a
to
D-line?
Have done that.
Okay, but then with that, say, hey, if we go and sign 1 or 2 more guys, which of these guys make sense to you that could fit right into your defense to give you what you need, whether it be depth-wise or because they could add some extra talent to your front, your starting 11. And I would think there's a couple names on this list that they could actually benefit from signing. And they still have money.
They have – I read that they have like somewhere like a little under $10 million to spend.
And that's including all the draft picks, I assume.
Yeah, I think it's after draft picks. So it's not a ton of money. Like, you're not going to sign a huge splash, a huge piece. But you shouldn't be. Like, you should be adding depth to this team. Because that's what scares me the most about the Texans, like, going in the tank next year. Because, like, we played the audio yesterday. Like, the most realistic Texan season's 5 or 6 wins. Vegas has them at 5.5 wins right now. Look, 5.5 wins would be almost double what they had last year. If they get to 6 wins, that's double what they had last season. That's a significant jump from where they were last year. That's a 100% improvement. Six wins is a massive jump. So if we assume six wins, massive jump, double the amount of wins, 100% improvement over one season, the six wins gives you what? Like, what pick is that? That's probably a top five pick-ish. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5 to 7 range, somewhere around there. And that's kind of scary. But when I look at the 53-man and I eliminate everything else, the starters to me are, okay, I can go to work with that. I can get intrigued by that. I can be excited about that. But what scares me, again, is the realism of this. Like, the realism is the Houston Texans gave up their first-round pick next year when they're 5.5 win total in Vegas. The realistic viewpoint when you look at the Houston Texans 53-man roster is if they have 4 or 5 injuries, they are toast, and they have one of the worst rosters in the NFL.
Yeah, and 6 wins would have got you the 7th pick. That's what the Raiders were, 6-11, so
5-7 range.
So the 7th pick in the draft last year. And so it's probably right around there again. Like, you might have a couple other teams fall off, but that, I think the depth is a huge concern.
They need to sign a bunch of guys that we never heard of that D'Amico Ryans loves. Yeah. That's what they need to do with their remaining money.
And then hopefully
these... That's kind of what I was vindicated. Yeah.
Yeah, they need to sign 5 or 6 guys to improve the depth. The D'Amico Ryans, we've never heard of them, and D'Amico Ryans loves them for whatever reason. Cool. I'm on board for that. I don't need DeAndre
again,
or Jadavion.
Whether they want to admit it or not, but what they did on the first night of the draft changed a lot of internal philosophies. And so with that, and knowing that money just sitting there is just money just sitting there, it's not doing you any good for a team that's trying to win more football games. Whether you let D'Amico pick, or, you know, they seem to be real chummy right now, let the two of them go to work and say, hey, let's realistically and also wisely spend the majority of the rest of our money after the picks are signed and say, let's go get a couple guys that can help you.
Yeah. Uplift the depth of the Texans. 713-780.
Did Isaiah Wynn re-sign with the Patriots?
I don't remember.
Because there's another depth guard that you could, offensive lineman you could throw in there.
I want, if you're
got Patriot blood, and you know that what that means to Nick.
I would like an offensive lineman that could potentially win the center job if Juice isn't good, or can win the left guard job if Kenyon Green is a disaster in year two. That's my ideal depth signing.
I think that's a big
fear
of mine right now, that Kenyon Green is not going to take that step that he needs to take.
And that's in play.
I know
it's on the range of possibilities. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. How would you like the Texans to spend some of that remaining money that they have? Also, Jeremy Pena dropped back down in the order after turning it around. Michael Brantley's playing well in Sugarland. What could the Astros lineup look like a week from now? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that you can never argue about is the greatness that is Gentleman. I like a good drink at the end of the day, sometimes too. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all part of that rotation for me. Gentleman Spirits, you know them by now. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative, Prosecco craft technology that makes them better in purity, aroma, and in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentleman is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in Gentleman. It's clean. It's very, very clean. Try a sip of Gentleman compared to your brand. You're going to taste that huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, A&M class of 85, by the way, had me out to that tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. I fell in love, and I've been a Gentleman man ever since. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. It allows you to enjoy your drink. Some drinks out there, you have to labor through it. You have to tough it up and, you know, labor through your drink, work through your drink. You don't have to do that with Gentleman. You can savor it. You can find Gentleman vodka, gin, and bourbon at Total Wine. You can find it at Specs. You can find it at many of the local liquor stores around the area as well. Pick up your bottle on the way home today. You can also stop by their tasting room in Alvin. See how the whole process is done. And it's a really good spot to have a drink and hang out as well. If you're headed to an Astros game soon, like maybe today at 3:05, wink, wink, you can stop by the Gentleman Bar, which is just to the left of the Crawford boxes at Minute Maid Park. And it's right when you walk in the Union Station entrance. Look for the Gentleman Bar. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best Gentleman.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We've been asking you the question, what should the Texans hashtag be in 2023? For us last year, it was hashtag embrace the suck. For the Texans, it was just hashtag we are Texans, right? Wasn't that just their hashtag? They didn't have like a season hashtag. I think it was just hashtag we are Texans.
Was that it?
I think so. I mean, it's still their hashtag.
Wasn't it something about the H? Didn't they take off the Astros and
for the H? No, I don't think
it was.
So,
and Googs. I thought it was like spin-off of Astros.
Googs is for the city.
Okay, but I'm saying spin off of those two kind of directions. I thought it was like three different things. Didn't they have like three lines? I forget. I TV commercial.
Your memory is better than mine when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah, I thought there was like three lines of basically kind of bringing it back to For Houston.
Yeah. What was the latest and greatest that you liked?
Degenerate Gambler 1 had a beautiful one that I really like. Where'd it go? I'll find it. Hold on. I just had it. Why can't I remember what I said? What did I say?
I don't remember what you said, so I'm asking you.
I know. I'm trying to. I got to go back and get. Wait. Okay. It's moving now. The suck stops here.
Oh, that's right. The suck stops
Hashtag
here.
Hashtag the suck like stops that. Here. I like it a lot.
That might be our new leader.
I think it's pretty good.
I like the suck stops here because we can all get around that. We can really, you know, enjoy that because it brings in our hashtag last year, right? Embrace the suck last 2 years. Well, now we're no longer wanting to suck. The suck stops here. So it brings into play what the previous hashtags were.
Yeah.
And I think it's very telling to what the Texan season needs to be. The suck needs to stop. So I like that.
I like it a lot.
I think it's a Joe George. Are you going to step in the way of this? Or is our hashtag for the Texans right now the leader of the clubhouse? And look, we still have an hour and 10 minutes to go. We'll crown it by the end of the show. What should the Houston Texans hashtag be for this show, for the 2023 season? Right now, the leader in the clubhouse is the suck stops here. We've all agreed. So 713-780-3776. Before we talk about Brantley's return, which is going to be on the road trip next week, he has to come back because his 20-day rehab assignment's about to be up, and Dana Brown said he might actually come up before those 20 days. Before we do that, though, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rhett wants to talk about Anthony Richardson. Rhett, what's up? You're in the Hive.
Hey, guys. Real quick before we get into Richardson, going back to the play that made Clowney famous when he decapitated the Michigan running back, if anybody ever wants to take the time, look at the previous possession that happened a few plays earlier. The referee screwed up a chain call. Spurrier lost it completely. And I always say that Michigan running back should sue that referee for doing what he did to him. So if you ever want to have time, the play should never happen. But going about Anthony Richardson, I celebrated as much when the Colts drafted Richardson than when the Texans got Will Anderson. Talk about a complete bust. I literally heard an ESPN national guy, quote, analyst, say, well, now all he has to do is learn how to play the quarterback position. Really? That's all he's got to do. I mean, let's get the best decathlete in the world ever, and let's go let him start shortstop for the baseball Astros. Always got to learn how to play shortstop and learn how to hit a baseball. Love the show, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Rhett.
Thanks, Rhett.
Rhett bringing the heat. Look, I love it, and I was a huge – I was right there with you.
It's a Blankies, not Friday fire?
Yeah, there you go. I was right there with everybody with Anthony Richardson. Like, if Anthony Richardson would have landed on any other NFL team, I'm right there with you, Rhett. And in the whole draft process, I said Anthony Richardson is my fourth favorite prospect of these four first-round quarterbacks. I want nothing to do with him. He throws the football like Shaq shoots free throws. 2 years away from being 2 years away. Totally out on Anthony Richardson. Until it was Shane Steichen that picked Anthony Richardson, and they're going to build that offense around him.
And he's got a hell of a running back behind him, too, which helps.
That helps a lot.
Yeah.
It helps a lot because they're going to be a running-centric team.
Yes.
Look, and like Rhett's point, like, yeah, all he has to do is learn how to play quarterback. But with the Colts, they're not going to have him play quarterback. Like, he's going to throw the ball 15 times a game.
Right.
It's going to be much more like Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. Now, Lamar Jackson has like developed and evolved into a good passer in the NFL, close to good passer in the NFL, and I don't think Anthony Richardson's ever going to get there, but this is going to look like year one, year two, Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, with what it looks like with the Colts. And I think, look, it's a huge project. Can you win like that in the NFL? Probably not. I don't think you can win significant games like that in the NFL, but I think you can go 9-8. I think you can go 9-8 with Anthony Richardson running it 10 times and Jonathan Taylor running it 25 times.
Yeah,
and
no
playing
question.
Good defense behind it.
I mean, the easy answer is just go watch the Eagles, but the easiest answer is just look at teams that...
That's a stray at Jalen Hurts throwing ability.
Well, no, I'm just saying for why the system could work for Richardson is because from where it started to where it got to, you can understand that progress can be made and be made a lot quicker if you're actually capitalizing on the strengths of Richardson and you also have an unbelievable tailback behind him. And if you've got a decent offensive line, now you're in business because now you can do some things and the defense is going to be probably really focusing on the run a whole hell of a lot more. The receivers are going to therefore get more opportunities to create space. there's going to be a lot more opportunities for them to move the football. And in the process, Richardson doesn't have a traditional playbook to learn to do things that he might not be capable of doing at this point. So I think it has the ability to succeed. I also think that Colts fans are going to have to be patient, because no matter what you try to do and how good it might eventually get to, I don't think it's anywhere near close going to be like an overwhelming success in year one. Like 3 years down the road, I think it's realistic.
People forget that Lamar Jackson, he was a three-year starter at Louisville. He started most of his freshman year. Like, he didn't start game one, game two, but was the starter quickly. He started every game his sophomore, junior year when he was healthy. People forget that in Lamar Jackson's 3 years, permanent starter, QB1 at Louisville, he did not in one season complete 60% of his passes. All 3 years, he was sub 60% in completion percentage at Louisville. And somehow he won a Heisman doing that.
Yeah, with his feet a lot.
The big difference is that, like, there's no – Anthony Richardson doesn't have that moment. Like, he doesn't have the Clemson-Louisville game.
How is that relevant to the NFL?
Because he's never shown, like, anything. Like, he's never shown...
Well, the Utah game brought the highlight that made me make the comparison to the Clowney hit, because suddenly it sent the internet ablaze and ESPN going crazy.
But he was god-awful the next week then against Kentucky.
He was.
Like, Lamar Jackson had sustained success for 3 years. While the completion percentage was never there, like, he had big moments, he won a Heisman for a reason, and he went 32nd. Like... The Ravens passed on him four times before they traded back into the first round to draft him. So it's like Anthony Richardson going four. Like, he just doesn't have anything that, like, wows you in college that makes you think that there's even evidence he can be good.
Where you're picked, though, does not matter. Like, the moment that you put the uniform on, like, where you're picked is gone. Like, it does not matter. So for Baltimore, they're like, okay, we're just going to commit to Lamar Jackson and see if this works. You had Bill Polian calling him a wide receiver. And Baltimore is like, you know what? We're going to build an offense around Lamar. We're going to give this a shot. Let's see if it works. And it had wild success for what they probably thought.
And he also didn't start, though. Like, he didn't start week one. You know, Joe Flacco was a starting quarterback his rookie year until I think Flacco got hurt, and then, or he was just awful, and then Lamar took over. Like, and I think it's the right move to play Richardson week one. Same thing with Stroud and Young, like all these guys, just play him. But like, there's nothing about Anthony Richardson in college that makes me think he can develop at all like Lamar Jackson did.
I just don't
see it. Like, I don't, he's got the big arm, but like,
he's got a big arm and he can run. He's athletic as hell. He's strong.
Yeah. I just don't think he's ever shown, like, besides like one or two plays a game, that he can throw NFL level passes.
I mean, that's not true.
Yeah,
he's made NFL level passes. The problem has been that the consistency is really bad. His consistency, and now he'll miss some like routine passes.
That's what he said.
He'll miss routine passes for like what you'll see.
So will his receivers, damn it.
What are you talking about?
What he kept saying, it's not my fault if I put the ball where it is if my receivers don't catch it. It's not on me.
That was Levis.
No, it was not.
It was Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson, when he was asked about how you only throw fastballs and your receivers can't catch it, he goes, it's not my fault if I can't catch it. Levis said that he had a cannon and he was going to show it off at the combine.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because I thought you were talking about the Casario comments.
Oh, about what Nick, in hindsight, I think that was Levis.
Yeah, it was. I think that was Levis because McShay and all these guys said after that, Levis turned a lot of teams off.
Oh, is that you're talking about the one where he was blaming everybody else?
The Casario thing where Casario said, like, basically one of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was just referring to the Richardson comment where it's not my fault if they can't catch it.
They said that about Stroud, too, though.
Stroud
with the Texans.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the Brantley lineup stuff later. 713-780-3776. What should the Texans hashtag be for the Killer Bees in 2023? You can keep sending those in. Right now, hashtag the suck stops here is the leader in the clubhouse. It is Weird Take Wednesday. Every 2 o'clock on Wednesday, Joe gives to us the weirdest of takes that we've seen in the last week. What is the weird takes that we've seen this week? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.